Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in this half of the show, we have a passionate, fired up Dr. Drew. We'll tell you about him going to D.C. and talking to Trump and company about the homeless situation. Play you an inspired clip of a passionate man. And we got the news as well. First, Simply Safe Home Security. You want to get commercial grade security for your home? Well, they're Simply Safe. There's break-ins, and they're going on all over the place, and they use real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account. That means police dispatch 350% faster than a normal burglar alarm. Comprehensive protection, outdoor cameras and video doorbells, entry, motion, and glass break sensors, all monitored by 24/7 live security professionals. Set up yourself, do it in less than an hour, no tools needed, or they'll do it for you. Just 50 cents a day and no lock-in contract. So go to Simply Safe, that's two I's, simplysafe.com/Adam today for free Simply Safe security camera to help you capture crucial evidence for police and get the 350% faster dispatch. Normally $100, you get the free Simply Safe security camera. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
Your producing skills are lame. Make fun of how your shows. Okay. You seem to only make things worse when you explain to him how Twitter works. No one would want your job.
Hot, pulled off by Dickie Banks.
It's great.
I do love Fox on the Run. Mm. I love that song. All right. Drew went to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Drew addressed whom?
I addressed a room full of people who are concerned with helping the homeless. Invited, sort of handpicked by the administrative staff, and Secretary Azar was there, and Secretary Carson was there. It was sort of a who's who of people working in the world of homeless and this issue. And there was fascinating. In fact, even the guy who wrote the book, I idolized this book called American Psychosis, which is sort of my guiding document.
Great, right? Christian Bale movie.
Yeah, it could be.
A little bloody.
And American Psychosis is written by a guy named Tory, and he was there. He's an older gentleman now, and he very coyly looked at me. I said, "I'm so glad to meet you. This, you know, you've informed this is how this happened. You've got the history laid out. I get it." And he goes, "We made some mistakes along the way." And I went, "Yeah, no kidding. We made some really serious mistakes. The psychiatric community did." And so part of my credo is we are still under laws that were an overreaction to the excesses of psychiatry in the 50s.
Mm.
And so the laws that are in place now are a reaction to that in the last 70 years since those laws were put into place, or at least 60 years. We have advanced in terms of our ability to care for the people with brain disorders. It's time to revisit these laws. Come on now.
This is
part of what I talked about.
This will be addressed in the clip. I do want to say this note, and I'm curious in your thoughts on this, Drew. Mm. The reason we're heading for rough waters, the reason we're heading for a tough patch in our society is our society used to be real analog and mechanical. And when it comes to, we had things to do as a society. We had to build a transcontinental railroad. We had to build a railroad from the East Coast to the West Coast, or we had to make the Golden Gate Bridge, or maybe we had to fight World War I and then World War II, or we were trying to figure out a way to get an airplane that had the capacity or the mileage or the range to get from New York to Europe. And we had a bunch of we had polio to cure and stuff, but we had a bunch of mechanical stuff to fix. And the Yentas on the internet chiming in on how the Golden Gate Bridge should work, mm-hmm. or what we should do with caissons or pylons. You just tell them to shut up.
Or the polio vaccine.
I feel exactly the same way about this problem.
Right, right. So we have no. Now we're living in an invisible digital world, and everyone gets an opinion because. When it comes to, well, what are we going to do with immigration, or what are we going to do with the schools in the inner city, or what are we going to do with the homeless? Now everyone just gets, everyone gets a vote. Everyone has a notion.
Right.
We don't. We realize the guys who were building the railroads knew how to build railroads, and we let them
do it.
And also, when they said, "Here's what we got to do," you couldn't go. I feel like we want to go over the mountain range. They go, no, we're tunneling through the mountain range. And they wouldn't go, I feel in my heart.
It's my truth.
It's commissioner's
truth.
Study.
The guys just did what they did.
Isn't this the same problem I've been complaining about forever as it pertains to my profession?
Yes.
When I would tell somebody, here's what's going on, here's what we need to do. Argue.
Right.
As opposed to when Adam says, here's how you swing a door.
Yeah.
Grab a pen and a piece of paper.
Where as we go from the analog to the digital, as we go from the tangible, I mean, how much, you know, you go back 100 years, almost everything was tangible. It's like, we got to chop some wood down and get some bit of mill up and take some logs down and clear that forest and then build some whatever. It was all that hard to argue with any of that.
That's the way it's done.
And now everything is digital. Everyone has an opinion. And the homeless problem. I would argue whether it's the schools that are failing or the homeless, it's every bit as concrete as the Golden Gate Bridge is.
Yes.
It's just invisible, and everyone has an opinion
right.
now.
And
now we're
thing,
fucked.
Three a day are dying just in L.A. County.
All right,
three
let's
a day dead. Is
listen,
that okay?
Let's see if we can get that up.
Drew, let's listen to Drew talking to whom at this point?
This is the – now, I'm the keynote for this – day-long symposium on homeless, and I'm speaking to these homeless sort of advocates and experts.
Go ahead.
Now, what we are up against, in addition to this history, which was ill-advised, is now a series of ossified laws that were put in place in the 70s. Things like in California, our Lantrim and Petra Short Act, which affords no consistency in treatment. This was a task force that suggested that untreated mental illness remain a feeder to the state's jail and prison system. ERs will be the dumping ground, and city streets will be an open-air asylum where people with mental illness are brutally victimized and die. Lanterman Petras Short Act maintains the silent genocide on our streets. If you are so severely mentally ill that you can be held against your will, and believe me, that requires the most severe states of psychosis. If you say, I'm going to kill myself or somebody else, and you end up in the ER and then finally on a 72-hour hold, which is how we do it in California. If you then say, 4 hours later, you know what, I've thought better of it. If you can answer the next two questions, do you know how to get food? Yeah, McDonald's is across the street. Do you have a place to live? My tent's over there on Reseda. That's it. Out. No treatment, no assessment, no ability to determine what the probabilities of future success are with your care. You can just go. Our civil rights have outweighed the self-evident need for treatment. Families are left desperate. I've worked with state senators in California. We've gone up with family. Please let us help our homeless loved one. We have doctors. We have a bed. We have money. We have places for them to live and sleep and eat. Help us get them home so we can treat them. And we're told by Sacramento to take a hike. Who do you think you are? Desperate. There's resources for these people, and they are dying in the LA County area at the rate of 3 a day. My question is, to my friends and colleagues and representatives in Los Angeles and California, what does the body count need to be? What is the body count before you give up crazy ideas like building four walls will treat mental illness? This is the current policy that we're pursuing in California, is that if we just have housing, it will end. Somewhere between 60 and 85% of the patients are resistant. The vast majority have serious mental illness and drug addiction, and four walls are not going to do anything if they would even go in. Now, what this is at its core, the symptom that we are managing is something called anosognosia. Okay? Anosognosia is a deficit of self-awareness, a condition in which a person with disability is unaware of having it. It was first named by Joseph Babinski. You clinicians in here, famous neurologist at the turn of the century, the Babinski sign, which is something you, when you're doing a neuro exam as a medical student, is the very first thing you're taught about. Babinski noticed this and characterized the term anosognosia. We as clinicians see it all the time in stroke. If somebody has a right cortical stroke, the left side of the body goes out and the patient doesn't know it. Literally, you can show the patient your hand, it flops over, they'll go, huh, whatever that is. Anyway, the same condition develops in dementia. We rush in. We rush in. We would be considered inhuman not to rush in on behalf of demented patients with anosognosia. They don't have insight into what's happening to them. Encephalopathy, a medical condition, causes the brain not to work. All right, stay away from me. I don't want help. Inhuman. But when the same condition, the same symptom evolves in the setting of a psychiatric illness, we privilege it in the law. We privilege it. And we protect the patient, we protect that symptom from allowing us to get at the patient to prevent them from dying. Drug addicts get anosognosia. Manic psychosis, anosognosia. Schizophrenics, anosognosia. It's the same biology as in dementia and encephalopathy and other brain conditions, and yet we privilege it in the law, and people are dying. What does the body count need to be? What does it need to be before we will try something a little different? Closing the gap between harm to self or other and need for care. I have a suggestion. How about, this was proposed to me a couple days ago, and I thought, this is brilliant. This would get around all of the problems. I'd love to change the laws, and I'm working on it, but why not an advanced directive for psychiatric care? When somebody is diagnosed with a serious mental illness, why can't we pull out something like what we have in California, the POLST form? It's a template that goes, if my brain isn't working, if I'm having the following conditions, this is what I want you to do on my behalf. Same thing as advanced directive for medical care, right? When somebody is in an ICU and they can't, their brain isn't working right, we have directives what to do. We should have the same thing with psychiatry. We should have that. Every psychiatrist should have it. In general practitioners, too, primary care people, should have a template that says, you know what, we have your advanced directive for healthcare. If you go into a serious medical crisis, let's get your advanced directive for psychiatric care. When your brain stops working, which I'm sorry, it's a high probability of that with your condition. I want to be sure to get you back in and back to work and back to where you can thrive. Thriving is the final goal here. And let's remind ourselves, dementia is an inexorable progressive condition that we cannot change. And yet we jump in on that one. Schizophrenia, when they manifest anosognosia, if we don't intervene, we are condemning them to future deterioration and the possibility of being irretrievable with a treatable disease whose course can be changed dramatically with early intervention. So the disease that we can actually change the course of, we privilege anosognosia, and the disease for which it's inexorable, well, that one we jump all over. How crazy is that? We must change this. We got to change it.
Wow. I knew a guy who had anosognosia. He was a family man. He paid his taxes. He was a pillar of the community. Yeah. He loved his children. He worked at the Alamo at Burbank. And then during tax season, he worked at an H&R Block. And he had anosognosia. And he was fine. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So you want to hear the pushback I get?
I think you just did.
I just love the
no, that's one of them. That's one of them.
I feel like no.
Can someone with mental illness sign an advance directive? Is that legal?
Before they decompensate,
when they make the
diagnosis, we stabilize you and go, hey.
Oh, this I is see. Likely. You got to write with
now,
some meds or something.
So here's the pushback. We already have that. We already have that. We already have that. Yeah, and nobody uses it. Right. You have something like that. I'm saying use it as a template of universal care, and I didn't make that as clear as I should have. That it's a almost mandated, just the way we have a mandated directive to treat somebody if they're in the ICU. Mm-hmm. It'd be unthinkable if a medical doctor didn't have that advanced directive. So when that brain stops working because they have pneumonia or encephalitis or whatever it might be, we know what to do on behalf of the patient. Why the F do we not have that for neurological conditions and mental illness? It's ridiculous. It should be mandated. So when the person goes out on the street and the ACLU says, hey, you can't touch them, show the piece of paper where he says, oh, no, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get me back, treat me with meds, get me stabilized, give me vocational rehabilitation, put me in my parents' house. Thank you.
Let me see if I can redirect the ACLU a little bit.
And quickly, the other thing I get is, are you saying people with mental illness do not have agency? They don't have agency!
Go, Drew.
No, I didn't say they don't have agency. I said when they're ill.
It's their words. It's their thoughts.
It's a brain process that blocks the insight. They have full agency when they're stable.
How about this, California? Because in the new year, they always pass a few laws. Like 1,000. Like 1,000 laws. And one of the things they passed, or two of them, which I find good, which is no smoking anywhere anymore. Like you can't smoke on the beach, no public land. There is no public grounds. There's no smoking anywhere. And there's also one, I'll paraphrase, but if you're going to do a load of laundry that day, you can't take a shower that day.
No.
Okay. So I think we've established, state of California, that we're perfectly comfortable telling citizens what to do. Would you agree that no smoking on an empty beach or no taking a shower the day you do a load of laundry is the government telling people what to do?
It's a state pastime.
So now,
Bad people.
Yes, taxpayers. Now you're shitting in the street and shooting up. We don't have any dominion over you. We can't tell you what to do. We can't enforce anything for you. But if you'd like to smoke or shower on a day you do a load of laundry, that we're getting involved in. And my feeling is, look, you got to do one or the other. You have fucking people selling ghetto dogs on the property of the Staples Center. That there's no regulation for that whatsoever. There's hyper-regulation over someone who's opening a business, who's opening a restaurant. I'm just saying, be consistent. Look, fine, let people expire on the streets, and I'll take a shower while I'm doing a load of laundry. How about that? Because evidently we don't govern, or we put on a jeweler's loop and govern everybody who plays by the rules, but the people who pay no taxes and don't play by the rules, they can just run wild, literally in the streets. You cannot continuously send that message. You can't do that.
Well, they are.
They are, but it's going to come to an end.
You think?
People are already leaving all the places that do this.
It feels like they want them to go. It's like beyond. Hey, they're leaving. Good. Bad people. Get out of here.
Well, look, again, look no further than the guy who drove Bryan Cranston to the airport so he could go to New Mexico. They'll leave. They'll leave if you make it hard enough on them. They'll hit a saturation point, and then they'll leave, which is what's going
to
happen.
I have not spoken to anybody in the last 4 months that doesn't have a plan, isn't thinking about how to
leave. Who lives in California, especially
in California.
L.A.
No, yeah, especially L.A.
All right. Oh, Trump's got a little surprise appearance and addresses Dr.
Drew
at the end.
Didn't know this was coming, but here, all of a sudden, he showed up on the stage.
This is a great group. I know so many. Please sit down, please. So I heard about this actually for a couple of weeks. I heard about it and I said, we have to do it. Not much going on around the White House. You know, we're not too busy, but we have the great Ben Carson. Thank you, Ben. That's great that you're here. Where's Dr. Drew? Where is he?
Dr. Drew?
Can I do your show?
Did
you have the greatest ratings you've ever? We had some good ratings, right? Congratulations. Everything going well? It's been a while.
He's thinking of
networking.
You. He's thinking
right
of
at
you.
The beginning of this whole thing, right? Good. Thank you very much for all you do.
That's what he did with me on the marriage rap. Like, we're going to have the greatest ratings ever. Like, no, we're not. How can we do that?
Afterwards, he pulled you aside and said, look, reality show host to reality show host. What can we do about this?
I think he was thinking of Adam. I really do. He's like, we did a show, right?
I could have been. All right, so let's take a very good job, Dr.
Well, thank you.
That was
thank you.
Exquisite.
It was rewarding, I got to say. And one of the most rewarding part was spending the day with Ben Carson and Secretary Azar. Those are good dudes, and they are working hard. Azar used to be the CEO of Eli Lilly.
What is he the secretary of? I don't know that.
HHS.
Okay.
And so FDA. And Carson Hutt, right? And
what's HHS?
Health and Human Services. So and so all the healthcare stuff, he gets it from both sides of the table and is a very smart dude.
And so I'm just going by title here. Ben Carson isn't in the camp of just four walls will do it, right? Because
he is not. Because I literally talked to
him. Seems like he might be.
About 4 months ago, I talked to him on the radio and I described to him these cases on the street. Because he's a neurosurgeon, he was like, yeah, got it. And we discussed the history of the breakdown of the state mental health care system in the entire country. He was like, yep, check. It was like a handoff after call. After call, you describe your cases to the right guy you're handing off to, mm-hmm. or the woman. And it was felt just like that. He just like immediately got his head around it.
Wow.
And since then has been all about, yeah, we got to have these services, and that's that.
Cool.
But he is looking at federal buildings that could be used to provide these services. He, like I, understand the legal piece is the part that's really the problem here. Really a problem. Conservatorships, Landon Petras, these things have to be improved. So, and once they are, this thing will be a non-issue. And the city of California, of Los Angeles, finally looking at the Trieste plan, which is this community-based vocational rehab emphasized mental health communities. Good. Wonderful.
All right.
Get it done.
We'll take a quick break. Come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is threatening, quote, harsh retaliation against the U.S., whom he has called, quote, the cruelest people on earth. Now, that's because the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, Major General Qasem Soleimani, was killed early Friday in an airstrike ordered by President Trump. That's according to the Pentagon. The Pentagon issued a statement that said, quote, Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. The statement added that the general was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans and coalition service members and wounding of thousands more. I'm sure we'll get into more of this, you know, tomorrow as things develop. People are talking World War III. People are talking we're walking targets.
I had this great thing, which I was watching the news unfold, or the news was discussing it, and I was watching it, and I thought, okay, I want to do that. It's a new fun game now. Which is you just compare and contrast Fox to CNN.
Sure.
And you go, what are they saying versus what are they saying? And CNN was like, he was a beloved leader, whatever, you know, whatever. And then Fox was like, he was a despot, he was a criminal, he was a terrorist, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So religious cleric.
You get that part. Yeah, you get that part down, which you expect. But the thing that was funny that I noticed, and poor Max Zapata, now you got to go grab my phone because I filmed it. I didn't know. I was like, I come in here all the time. It's like, get the clip of the Fox and the nightly, whatever, the CNN with the night, and we can never find everything. So I just sort of filmed it in sort of real time on my phone. But the thing, so here's the thing that's funny. Every picture of this guy on Fox was him looking like a criminal and looking like a despot and a leader of
the OJ Newsweek treatment.
And every picture they had on CNN, he was smiling. And you're like, ah, this guy looks like a decent guy. He looks like the guy who works at the falafel place over there. And the other one was like, you were looking at pictures going, oh, that's a bad dude. That's a bad dude. On the other one, it's all smiling. And they both had 4 or 5 separate images, so it couldn't just be a coincidence.
Right.
And all the CNN, he was smiling and like he was wearing like a windbreaker.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't wearing fatigues or
passing
anything.
Passing out candy to children.
I saw some Fox ones where he looked like he was wearing like a Nazi uniform.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Very angular.
And I thought it can't be a coincidence, because when people just go to a standard photo file, 3 or 4 pop up. So somebody had to say at Fox, no, not the top one. We need the second, the seventh, and the eighth picture that came up in our standard photo thing. And somebody at CNN went, no, not the bad one. Smiling, people, like Fantasy Island. Ricardo Montalban smiles. Everyone smiles.
Love Boat.
So I was like thinking, oh yeah, it's perfect. So the channel that likes Fox, we killed a bad guy. The channel that hates Fox, we killed your happy uncle with a beard. But they're very consistent. Yeah. And I thought that was
you take comfort in that though, right? The consistency.
I do. And I was also like, I know I'm going to get a different story on each side, but I didn't know the pictures. I didn't know there were pictures of him smiling.
Yeah, look at that.
He's smiling and looking regal.
He looks like Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was literally just filming my TV set last night. He looks like a journalist there. He's wearing civvies and he's smiling and whatever. And
one after the other.
All right, so if you see, that's MSNBC, sorry. He was smiling, smiling, smiling. That three shots of him smiling, and then if you go to Fox, it's four shots of him scowling or looking like he's plotting something evil to Americans.
Yeah.
All right.
You know who might be interesting to have on to talk about this is Brian Suits, who does Dark Secret Place.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was in combat and he does have a lot of thoughts about this. I was listening on the way in.
Love that guy.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get a hold of him. Mm-hmm. Well, the Food and Drug Administration announced Thursday that it's banning the majority of fruit and mint flavored vaping products in the hope of halting use by teens. The FDA said that beginning in 30 days, companies need to stop the distribution of these sweet-flavored products. However, the company will be allowed to sell tobacco and menthol-flavored vaping products because presumably those are for adults, and they're using those as an alternative to quit smoking. They're not trying to hook kids with the bubblegum flavors. The ban comes after 55 people in 27 states have died from ailments they say caused by vaping, and the ban is specifically targeting products from companies like Juul with the nicotine pods and the cartridges. And the Trump administration.
Fake news, Gina, be careful.
Well, hold on. I want to get your thoughts on this because the Trump administration announced the ban in September, but it was delayed due to lobbying by tobacco and vaping companies. So there's obviously a lot of tug of war about this.
Yes. So I fully support it. I think it's fine. I think the idea of not letting kids get hooked because of the crazy flavors, excellent idea. I'm all for that. I'm relieved that they did not put some kind of weird moral imperative. They've been in a moral panic about vaping. Moral panic. Vaping is, oh my God, so much superior to cigarettes. So far superior. It's ridiculous. Okay. And one thing you said I would take issue with, you said these the lung conditions, the pulmonary arrests that were
the popcorn lung.
They were not the result of vaping.
You tell that to CNBC.
They were the result of bootleg cannabis canisters that had vitamin E in it that were bought at a gas station as opposed to legitimate sources.
So the vitamin E, because that's what everybody was talking about, and that's what really, really hurts when you ingest it because it's liquid and then it solidifies in your lungs,
right? Yeah, it just covers all the surfaces of
the lung. So the major producers of this stuff are not using vitamin E.
No, you can continue vaping pot and be okay.
Right.
Now, I worry about it until they decide exactly what was going on to make sure there's nothing in the commercially available sort of legitimate weed outlets.
What percentage of the people that suffered from this were smoking pot versus
I believe it was either 100% or 90%, and there was question about whether that 10% was telling the truth.
So here's how you work your magic if you're trying to get rid of vaping or third-hand smoke or whatever it is. You go, we got to get rid of the bubblegum flavored and the juicy fruit flavored vaping that Juul is making. What about these 50 people who've died because of complications? Right, but not of that.
Not
from their product, not from the bubblegum, not the stuff you brought up.
Nothing to do with
your sacred
not even the
cow,
nicotine
which
stuff.
Is weed. They don't they love weed. They hate cigarettes, which is like, I don't know. I don't know where everyone's forming their opinions these days. Like, I don't love cigarettes. I don't love weed.
Such a pendulum
this
shift.
This weed is like some sort of way of life, and cigarette is something that your evil stepdad smoked when he was sodomizing you. And I get it, but you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go bubblegum. And then what about these? Right. That was weed, everybody.
And bootleg weed,
and bootleg
too.
Weed.
You can continue to smoke your weed vapes. There's little. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's being sold.
We're tempting to make policy. It's helpful to have information, or at least
and be rational.
Be rational.
What happened, everybody?
Well, this is a little bit reminiscent of the tourists that were dying after drinking the hotel alcohol in Puerto Rico or whatever. It wasn't sanctioned by the Hilton or you know Marriott.
Right. Right.
So we'll see where that goes. Well, Adam, I know it's the first day back, and I know I'm going to catch hell for bringing this up, but damn it. It's getting so near, we have to talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Former Fuller House actress Lori Loughlin will be in a Boston courtroom on January 17th. Her close friends...
We need a days is last accident style counter.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because this quote is awesome. Her close friend says she's come to the realization that prison is inevitable. One of them claimed, quote, Lori's getting advice from ex-inmates. She's learning the lingo and practicing martial arts. She knows her celebrity will make her a target behind bars. She's ready to rumble.
Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie.
Yes, it is.
That's right. So apparently, 6 months is the minimum sentence. 45 years is the maximum. And remember, prosecutors sent another wealthy father to federal prison for paying his $500,000 to a college admission office. He got 6 months. And meanwhile, both of Lori's kids have dropped out of school.
It was
all that for that.
Yep.
On the rule of the school law, one of the 1,000 laws that were passed in for 2020 in California is no more disciplining 4th through 8th graders who disobey and are unruly and blah blah blah. So we're kind of getting rid of that part of school and rules and law, but we're tripling down on the celebrities that are trying to buy their kids into USC.
You mean like paddling or detention?
There's no more suspension of kids that are defiant, won't obey. You know, you tell the kid, put your cell phone down, and they go, fuck you, pops. Yeah. You're not allowed to suspend them anymore.
Well,
by the way, this will bear unbelievable fruit in the future. Think well, how...
This should... bring a lot more qualified teachers into the mix, right?
Yo,
it's want to be there.
The lines are around the block. Of course, everyone wants to be a teacher when your 24-year-old chick is telling a 8th grader to put his phone away and he's telling you to suck his dick and you can't do anything. Nothing attracts people to the industry like that. We need, I love what it's like, we need the best. We need the brightest. All right.
How about you back him up a little?
How about you fucking watch their back?
Yeah.
And also... I don't know. Is it helping? Is it going to help? Where should we be? These kids who have learned that nobody, they don't have to listen to anyone. All right, now they're 19, and it's not a teacher, and it's a cop, and the cops told them to do something, and they told them to blow them, and now they're dead.
Yep.
That's the way it works. Helpful people who are making legislation. Okay. And I'm sure the teachers union who voted you into the fucking office you're in right now are profoundly thankful that you're getting rid of all rules and taking all the tools they have to discipline. Shouldn't they just be in charge of their class? Do you think they hate kids or young kids of color or anything? Wouldn't you think that the person who's dedicated their life to teaching those young kids could decide whether someone has crossed the line or not and march you to the principal's office?
Then that gives them a seat on the school to prison pipeline, Adam.
That's right. That is how.
Express train. Yeah.
That's the express train. Okay. Awesome.
Well, maybe Lori should take a note from this guy. He had a good run. An inmate who escaped from a South Carolina prison 40 years ago, finally back behind bars after he was arrested last week in Delaware. 64-year-old.
Give that guy his due. Come on.
I hope that guy's in a holding tank with a guy who escaped on a Wednesday night and was found Thursday morning. So it's like how 6.5 hours of bliss. Interesting.
I don't want to brag, but I escaped from this prison.
Ordered a blizzard, and I was able to drink half of it before the feds got hold of me.
It's adorable.
I started a family, ran a small business.
I have grandchildren.
Loved and lost, traveled the world. You know that song where the chick singing about never being to her?
Of course.
I've done
my favorite.
I've done it all.
What?
Whatever that chick did.
Are you Charlene?
That's what I did. Twice.
Oh, my God.
So you went out noonish on Wednesday and
back by dinner?
Before dinner. Interesting. May I teach you how to run serpentine in the general pop yard? That'll be my gift to you in 2020.
Well, he is 64-year-old Jose Romero. He was busted for public intoxication and trespassing.
He was celebrating
really keep a
low pro. 40th anniversary.
Yeah, at the time of his arrest,
he 40 years of freedom.
He gave the police a false name, but his fingerprints matched those of Romero, who was convicted of armed robbery in 1979 and escaped. Romero will be extradited to South Carolina, where he will be required to serve the rest of his sentence, probably tack on a few as well. By the way, how did he escape, you ask? He was doing one of those work details where I think you probably got to leave during the day and he slipped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of all the movies I saw about either tunneling or going on a zip line over
laundry.
The top of laundry, they've all just turned into what happened. They left the gate open, yeah. And the wind was blowing toward the gate.
Yeah. The guard was texting.
He just kind of wandered out. Yeah.
Nobody noticed.
They're all kind of turned into just left.
Yeah. They're not romantic.
No. Yeah. I want some tunnels or some tango and cash.
Or some fake, some paper mache heads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The bed. He was there for bed check.
Tango and cash. I don't know if you remember how
they... Kurt Russell and Sly
Max Zapata, Tango and Cash.
I love that
when they're on the roof.
Yep.
They get to the roof of the prison.
Zip line out.
Now they have to do the zip line.
Brian, how are you not familiar?
I don't remember this part.
This was your era. I was young, but this was your era.
Big rainstorm. They had to throw the shirt or the belt, using the belt over the zip line and zip on out, power lines, shooting sparks.
Jenny, you're a lot younger than me, but I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was when the movie came out.
HBO was our babysitter. Okay, hey, what about Raising Arizona? That's a great tunneling movie.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most amazing cinematic scenes.
That's a great
movie. Pulls him out by his foot.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, just because I want to show you the pictures, Dr. Phil McGraw wants to sell his $6 million house, and it includes everything that comes in it. The 6,000-square-foot home has...
Jesus, the Matrix.
Yep, unique decorations.
Guns
the dining
everywhere.
Room. We're looking at the dining room. It displays a dozen military guns. The entry hall features a chair hanging from the ceiling.
What?
There's a billiard room with a bright turquoise pool table with lion feet.
Oh, my God.
The grand staircase. There's the chair.
They're not the feet of lions. No. They're lions for feet.
Right.
The grand staircase is fake tree limbs, ceiling on the second floor is painted like a checkerboard. It's crazy. Now, to describe it best, Dr. Phil's son Jordan explained the design by saying Tim Burton threw up on a canvas and it turned into a house.
All right, fair enough.
Where is this house?
Beverly Hills.
Really? Beverly Hills.
Yeah, apparently.
$6 million with all that stuff in
it. You guys could probably get a walkthrough.
That sounds that sounds relatively...
Did you say it was
6,000.
6,000. 1,000 a square foot.
It's in the flatlands?
That doesn't
Beverly Hills adjacent.
The shoes.
Yeah. South Beverly Hills.
Weird, right? It's confusing to everyone who's listening.
Olympic and La Cienega.
why
on
we
Rodeo,
are saying
not $6 Rodeo.
Million is a small sum for, for a house. In Beverly Hills, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. All right, let's bring it home,
you
Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm going to kill myself or somebody else.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Geico, everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save a bunch of money on your auto insurance? Don't go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, save a whole bunch at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, Drew, you want to come out to the Shelby American premiere on Wednesday?
Absolutely,
Drew. At the
Montauban
Theater.
I want to do some interviews to support the show. Major fan of that thing, that movie.
I love that you love it. Dr. Drew, you can listen to our podcast, the Animal Dr. Drew Show, and also the Dr. Drew podcast, and Dr. Drew After Dark, available on Apple Podcasts. Website, drdrew.com as well. And go to AdamCarolla.com for everything you need. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo. He loves you like I love unicorns.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. For tickets and info on everything, go to AdamCarolla.com and Happy New Year.